This is Alistair from the Gateless Gate from Northern Ontario, and you are listening to the fabulous SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web at cfru.ca.
The following is the half-hour conclusion of the rebroadcast of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscopes live on location show at the 2019 Hillside Festival from Guelph Lake Island on Sunday, July 14th, to be followed by additional musical selections to round out this hour.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM and on CFRU.ca, broadcasting live from Hillside Festival 2019 on the Guelph Lake Island in the neighborhood tent here. We just finished, or last hour, I should say, we had our interviews with Joyful and Bonnie Trash, and then we just heard a bit of Hims 57, a fellow CFRU programmer who is also a performer at, who performed at CFRU, sorry, at Hillside yesterday and today. That was Mount, three quarters, I should say, of Mountain Grove off of Hims 57's newest record, Peyote Road Burn, self-released and available on Bandcamp just recently this past Friday. And we're going right now into our next interview with a great band coming all the way from Prince Edward Island, I believe. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Right.
With the Burning Hell. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
My name is Matthias.
I'm Ariel.
Yeah, and the Burning Hell is based partly in Prince Edward Island and partly in Newfoundland.
Okay. I had read a bit about it. The biographies didn't really say whereabouts.
Right.
You were.
Yeah.
So that's
Atlantic. We move around a lot.
Yeah, we move around a lot, but Atlantic Canada is home.
Nice. Well, thank you for coming onto the show.
It's great
and
to be here.
To talk with me.
It's great to be here in this tent. There's a lot. There's a lot of heat in this tent. A surprising amount of heat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you been just like sweating all day? Just
in the sun. In the sun. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's actually just now. Like I've been here for an hour and a bit. Just it's cooler now.
Yeah.
You'll get used to it.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
In the sun, it's really.
Yeah. It's crispy. Outside, we've been jumping in the lake as much as possible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I want, think I got to know you guys from CFRU, actually. Your latest album, Revival Island.
Beach.
No, Beach, sorry. Revival Beach.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting album, I should say. And I think I was most attracted to it because Ariel, you play bass clarinet.
I do, yes.
Yes, and I play bass clarinet as well.
Oh, no way.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Cool. Two bass clarinetists across the table from each other. It doesn't happen that often.
A special treat for on air.
Yeah.
So I want to leave a bit of that to talk about bass clarinet stuff, but let's begin with Matthias. This is The Burning Hell started off as your project,
yeah,
believe, right? So why don't you talk about how it began?
Well, I mean, it really just began as a songwriting project. I had no intention of starting a band. I just needed a name to slap on recordings that I was doing back many, 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 many years ago. And then around 2007 or so, the band started to coalesce into like a live thing. And I haven't really looked back since then. We've moved around a lot. We've spent some time in Peterborough. We have a bit of a Guelph connection.
Oh, how's that?
Well, at one point, both Jenny Mitchell, a.k.a. Jenny Omnicord, a.k.a. Bird City, a.k.a. one of the members of the Bar Mitzvah Brothers, as well as Jordy Gordon, were both in the Burning Hell. So we have many fond memories of playing shows at venues that are no more, such as the Family Thrift Store, etc. Fond memories of Guelph. Peterborough, and that lasted until about 2008 or 9, and then we moved out east, first to Newfoundland, and now PEI.
I've never actually played. I guess I didn't realize when I played your music on the air. I don't think I've ever played a PEI artist on my show before.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
What is the music scene in PEI?
It's more diverse than you might imagine at first glance. I think that when a lot of people go there or just like check it out sort of quickly, they get the impression it's like 99.9% traditional music. And there is a very strong traditional music scene there for sure. There's a lot of folk music. There's a lot of kind of singer-songwriter kind of stuff. But there's also a pretty cool emerging sort of underground punk scene and electronic music scene there as well. It's just very, everything on PEI is on a smaller scale, right? So whereas like if you know, there's 10 punk bands in Guelph at any given time, there's like two in PEI or something like that. So that's probably an exaggeration, but it is a diverse, we have everything, almost everything, just on a smaller scale.
Okay.
Yeah. What we are drastically lacking is decent venues.
I was gonna ask about that.
I mean, everywhere in Canada is lacking decent venues, but PEI is definitely hurting. Yeah.
What? I unfortunately haven't listened to a lot of your music other than Revival Beach.
Right. We can talk about Revival Beach. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or let's start off general. Like, what kind of music do you guys compose and perform? It seemed like when I saw a bit of your set yesterday, it's like folk rock, maybe a bit of art in there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it changes from album to album and tour to tour. We're fairly liberal with our interpretations of the songs, and we're not afraid to sort of change things around. So depending on the particular phase we're in, it can be a bit different. We've been described as recently as garage pop, which I like quite a bit. Anything else, Ariel, that you can remember?
I don't know. Genre's difficult, isn't it? I never know what to say. I just say like indie rock because it feels like this catch-all phrase that can.
But it's meaningless.
Anything.
Also,
it's also meaningless. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we have a lot of influences and our style can change from album to album and tour to tour. I think we're fairly liberal in imagining what the songs might be. We're not tied to any particular aesthetic, I guess, so that can make it confusing to describe. I think the main thing is that we try to, you know, Matthias's lyrics are really rich and dense and there's a lot of storytelling, and so often the music supports the story also, so we have so there's a lot of instrumentation that sometimes Darren, who's in our band, plays bouzouki as well as bass, and so we switch around a lot and from song to song,
it's weird because there's no genre description for music that is lyrically driven, really. Mm-hmm. You know, people will default to singer-songwriter, but like the average singer-songwriter, let's be honest, you know, like the lyrics are usually not the thing with the average singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. So like there's no descriptor for like music that where the lyrics are the most important thing. It's kind of frustrating, but also not. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
What are the types of themes and issues you do talk about in your lyrics?
I try to have a lot of fun with writing lyrics. I think that there's enough earnestness in the world of lyricists, and I try and bring a bit of levity to it while still, I mean, my ideal song, I think, like, I'm not always successful at this, but when I feel like I've done a good job at a song, it has an earnest heart, but it also has sort of playful or sometimes ironic kind of elements. But the underlying message is usually something quite earnest, but it's just dressed in different clothes, I guess. But in terms of topics, you know, everything from... I write a lot of fictional sort of narratives, as well as a lot of sort of more autobiographical stuff. I write about shows that we've played. I write about my actual personal history, as well as like completely invented narratives, sometimes historical narratives, science fiction, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess, for example, Revival Beach, what's the...
It's a loose, very loosely connected concept album about the apocalypse, not about necessarily one apocalypse, but about all of the different sorts of apocalypses that people have imagined or that may indeed come to pass. So And there's different sort of angles on it. Some songs are songs about, you know, people immediately after some kind of apocalypse. Some are songs about events that are going on right now that may lead to an apocalypse, such as climate change. But sort of various different perspectives on that. But I think it's kind of a fun record too. So it's not doom and gloom. Change is change. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not looking forward to the apocalypse. But there is a bit of levity in that record, though.
Yeah, I guess that was also a thing that I got a sense of. There's lots of, I guess, carefree atmosphere to the songs, and maybe a little bit of comedy.
For sure. And I think that in Canada in particular, maybe North America in general, I don't know, we don't know what to do with comedy in songs. We don't... it's not sort of taken seriously.
Humor. I don't think we write
comedy
songs.
Is the wrong. Yeah, we're not Flight of the Conchords.
No.
But there is humor in the lyrics. And I think that people don't know what to do with that sometimes, in Canada in particular, because because we just don't have a tradition of that here, maybe, or something. I don't know. It's a bit weird. But, like, it's something that happens a lot in, like, the United Kingdom, in the States, too, even a little bit. Like, people are a bit more comfortable that, like, lyrics can be funny but also be serious. Mm-hmm. You know, and in Canada everything seems to be like either super earnest and only super earnest, or it's like it's just funny, and what we're doing I guess is somewhere in between the two. And yeah, it's a bit of a funny place to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to hear for you guys to try that development the writing style.
Yeah.
Here.
It's always been.
I guess sometimes it does get, maybe in Canada, we don't want to try and like offend each other.
Yeah,
maybe,
totally.
Yeah, maybe that's part of.
I think that's a huge part of it. Definitely, that's a huge part of it. It's like we're very, very careful. We're like tiptoeing around, like not saying the wrong thing and like whatever. But we all like we all have senses of humor, and even when we're talking about serious subjects, it's nice. And sometimes the only way to deal with a serious subject is to inject a bit of humor into it. Too, because you know the sort of the best way I think to deal with a bad situation is to be able to find something to laugh about in it, and I think not to say that all of our songs are like that, but there's elements of that, and I think that's a kind of a key factor in The Burning Hell.
Yeah, and like a idiosyncratic charm as well,
I guess. Yeah, that's, but that part's not intentional.
So why don't we bring more about Ariel into the mix? How did you join The Burning Hell? Did you start off maybe early? Or join Matthias early?
I joined Matthias in 2010. I started playing in the band. So the band had existed for about 2 to 3 years before that. And I was thrown into the deep end a little bit on a 3-month-long European tour.
Oh. Was that intimidating?
It was absolutely intimidating and absolutely wonderful and pretty life-changing. So I've continued since then. And we've grown exponentially. I play more instruments now than I did at the beginning. And it's been a really wonderful vehicle to develop musically within. And that's how I joined, and that's... how it has come to be. Yeah. And so Matthias and I live together in Prince Edward Island, and so we work out more of the songs now together in our living room than in previous, you know, back in the early days of the band. But yeah.
So now we're getting into the bass clarinet talk.
Sure, yes.
How long have you been playing bass clarinet?
I don't know. I've been playing bass clarinet on and off for few years. I was playing the soprano clarinet mostly for a while. I played saxophone in the band, various saxophones at various times. I finally bought a bass clarinet last year, and they are very expensive instruments, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And mine is a very cheap one, but it's still very expensive.
I was trying to see what kind of model it was, or like the type it was. Is it just a student?
It's a student model, yeah. Okay, it's a Yamaha student model.
Okay, I'm not alone in having the same.
No,
but
oh
it also
God.
Doesn't make I any mean, sense. Like, why would you, it would be crazy to buy an expensive, even if you could afford it, you wouldn't tour with a $10,000 instrument.
Wooden, yeah. bass clarinet. The $3,000 student model is fine enough.
Don't tell people.
I mean, they're still really expensive instruments, and so I had been renting them before, but yeah, it's a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about that.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
So did you have to take any, or have you taken lessons for the bass clarinet, or sorry, for, I guess, clarinet, or what did you just learn through?
Well, I played clarinet from the age of 10. Through high school band and whatnot, through music lessons. Yeah, and then the switch to the bass clarinet, I haven't taken any bass clarinet lessons, no. But.
So, how does the bass clarinet, what kind of energy or layering does that add to the Burning Hell music?
Well, I've always thought, I mean, both with the normal clarinet and with the bass clarinet, but especially maybe with the bass clarinet. The clarinet in general has a certain kind of humor and sadness in tone, I think, that is similar to what we try to do as a band. And so I've always thought it was a kind of perfect instrument to have in the Burning Hell, because it can be very funny, it can be very sad, it can be very beautiful, it's very, very versatile. I always think, you know, the bass clarinet, ideally it can play the role of a cello in pop music, and it can play the role of a saxophone in pop music. It can kind of bridge this gap between something loud and something quiet and soft, and so I've always thought that it was a pretty perfect instrument for our band, because I think that's a lot of what we try to do is find humor and sadness and joy and levity and quietness and play between those spaces. And so, yeah.
It's also interesting for me as a non-woodwind player, to my ears, the bass clarinet has a lot of similarities to the human voice, and like in timbre, and I think that's such a nice thing in a band where there are a lot of vocals too, to have that as a kind of companion, in the same way that the cello is often compared to the human voice. Mm-hmm. You brought up the cello too, but so yeah, like the timbres are kind of copacetic in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I overheard from the from your set yesterday, like Vish, our station coordinator, did the hosting. You guys have played Hillside before.
11 years ago.
11 years ago. Has it changed drastically since then?
Hillside, it's funny because I haven't been here at all in the intervening years, not even just as a guest or a volunteer or anything like that. So I really, it's been 11 years since I was on this island. And I remember it being, like, in 2008, I remember the main stage seeming like an arena. And, you know, like, the island stage where we played in 2008 and yesterday seemed just impossibly large. And now everything seems a bit more, like, a bit smaller. But nice. It's nice. It's really nice.
It's interesting because Hillside was probably the first festival that the Burning Hell ever played.
The first
right?
festival, it was the first festival the Burning Hell ever played.
So, I mean, I wasn't in the band at that time, but I remember being around, and it was so exciting for everybody in the band at that time to be playing Hillside. It was such a huge thing, and it's so great to finally get to be here myself, and to kind of, it feels like this, marker in time in a way, because. Yeah, it's been 11 years.
Yeah.
You know, a lot has changed.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the vibe of this festival, it's more or less the same vibe I remember.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Very, very relaxed. Mm-hmm. People are super nice.
It's a lovely festival.
It's focused on music rather than focused on drinking or
It feels
whatever.
Like a bit of an outlier in
It
the
is
Canadian
an outlier, for sure.
festival world.
Yeah.
You know?
Also because the programming is not as what's not, I have to choose my words carefully here. The programming is very quite interesting at Hillside. It's diverse. It's eclectic compared to this. I find, and I'm not to be critical of any festival in particular, but sometimes it can look the Canadian festival landscape can look very samey.
It's a really wonderfully programmed festival.
Yeah,
I think. Also,
yeah, like Songhoi Blues from Mali played last night.
Yeah,
and they were incredible. Yeah. Altın Gün is playing tonight from Turkey, and gosh, like there's some, like really cool bands here, and super exciting songwriters, and yeah, it's really different, and there really is something for everyone.
And I think it's an honor to be included in that. Too,
absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Good festival.
Good, yeah. Top marks. Top marks.
Yeah, actually, my first time. Last year was my first time attending any kind of music festival, and it was such an eye-opening experience to be surrounded by a good atmosphere and good camaraderie of people who want to connect to each other and support both local and international artists, and it's just it's a good haven.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. It's very nice.
So after Hillside, is there any plans for the future? For Burning Hill, are you guys touring still, or?
Yeah, so we're wrapping up. This is the last stop in a 6-week tour for us, mostly in Europe and the UK. And in the fall, we'll be headed to the States for the first time, which is very exciting and intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
We're also, we'll be playing some festivals out east at the end of August, and then, going to the States, and then making a new record. We have lots of plans, actually. We're planned into 2021.
Too many plans.
So I don't know if you want to hear them all, but we'll be around for sure.
And hopefully returning to Ontario sometime.
Yes,
soon.
Definitely.
Yeah, of course.
That's another part of our plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just make a note of that.
Yeah.
Is there any words of wisdom that you can give our listeners?
Support community radio.
Yeah.
100%. I'm not just saying that because you're here and because we're on the show. I really mean that. Like, CFRU and many, many other community and campus stations in Canada are the only bright light in the music landscape in this country. And we need to support community radio 100%. Not just from the artist side, from a listener side too. We need it, and we need more of it, and we need to keep going. So yes, that's my word of wisdom.
That's very nice of you to say. Yeah. Especially, don't know if you've heard of the upcoming troubles for Ontario.
I have heard of those troubles. Mm-hmm. Yes, I didn't want to go down that particular hole, but yes,
Of course.
No, it's a dark time, and all the more reason.
Yeah, community radio needs your support.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Yeah.
It's not just a trite thing to say.
No, I really literally need you.
Yeah. Well, guys, Ariel, Mateus, thank you for coming on my show and talking with me.
Thanks,
thank
Nick.
You so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you here and seeing you perform and to see a bass clarinet.
Yes.
Don't feel so alone in that, in the bass clarinet world. Yes, thanks again.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Guess it looks like we're going to be wrapping up for this special secret scope of the SMK Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and on CFRU.ca. You can listen to the show on its main time slot Mondays from 3 to 5 p.m. and also catch updates online on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, at SMK Radio Program. So until next we behold, prog on, look inward and beyond, and happy Hillside.
Hello, this is Mark Wiley. You are listening to SMK, the Centennial's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. On Guelph, Ontario's CFRU 93.3.
I hope all you good sentries enjoyed the rebroadcast of the SMK's Secret Scope broadcast from Hillside 2019, especially my miniature audiences with Cormac and Dave of Joyful Joyful, Sarah and Emma of Bonnie Trash, and Matthias and Ariel of The Burning Hell. Thank you all for taking the time to come on my show. As the Hillside broadcast was only an hour and a half in duration, there is still another half hour of observations to fill. Thus, I will present to you a singular grand set of music that I had in reserve for the Hillside broadcast as backup filler. Starting the grand set is Alec K. Redfern and the Eyesores with Rend the Veil from their 2018 album released on Cuneiform Records, The Opposite. Recollecting the grand set, we first heard Rend the Veil by Alec K. Redfern and the Eyesores. Whitby Prague ambient guitarist Mark Wiley followed with Trust, off this year's solo album, Moments. Next was In Hope of Peace by Toronto-based world music trio Near East from their self-titled 2017 album. Finally, we just listened to North Bay's The Gateless Gate with The Earth We Once Knew from his brand new album, A Wider View. This concludes today's observational session with me, your master overseer, Nicholas Cooper, on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope here on CFRU 93.3 FM and online at cfru.ca. Until next we behold, Prague on and look inward and beyond. Support your local community and campus radio station.